You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
Let us talk for a few moments here about what you pay for a beer if you buy it at the store, not at a restaurant. If you go to the beer store or the grocery store now and you buy beer. In 2020, what you, the collective you, all you Canadians out there, what you paid in excise taxes, $676 million for beer. Roughly 47% of the price of the beer you buy goes to the government. It's a lot. But here's where, and I read this week, and I thought, we got to talk about this. Here's where things get really weird, because some of you, for whatever reason, and good for you if you do, no problem with this, some of you like to drink non-alcoholic beer. Could be any number of reasons why that's your choice, but you do. You're paying the same sin tax, apparently, on that non-alcoholic beer as on the real stuff. David Clement is the North American Affairs Manager with the Consumer Choice Center. He joins us now. David, thank you for doing this today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Before we get into the tax and all the sort of weirdness around this, because it is strange.
Very strange.
Is this an issue, honestly, is this an issue even worth discussing in that, is there really a market for the non-alcoholic stuff, or is this such a niche that it really doesn't make a difference?
So, initially, so I came to learn about this because somebody mentioned it to me in passing, and I thought it was a joke. I mean, in my head, I was like, well, there's no way that they would have a sin tax for non-alcoholic beer. That doesn't make any sense. So I started to do some research, and although I'm not particularly interested in non-alcoholic beers myself, it's forecasted to be a $4 billion industry by 2025. So it is growing. There is a lot of interest in it. It's not, it's for health conscious consumers, I guess, and folks who want to limit, who maybe enjoy the socialization of having a beer, but don't want to have the alcohol that goes along with it. So at first I thought that it was really just a fad when I had seen people drinking it, but no, it's quite popular. It's catching on. And that really brought me to the research I did, which led to the op-ed on why on earth would the federal government have a sin tax for non-alcoholic beer?
Well, there's another thing too. Before we get to the taxes, there was a time when non-alcoholic beer was horrendous. I mean, it was just awful stuff. And, you know, they have, the manufacturers have made it better. And so, yeah, I can see how there could be a growing market for it if it tastes more like it and, you know, is more similar. Anyway, okay. So if it's non-alcohol, the whole idea of a sin tax, as I understand it, is to either deter people from using it too much, or if you are going to use it and then you're going to potentially have health issues, we're going to charge you up front basically for the health care you're going to require down the road. Why would there be a sin tax on something that is, for all intents and purposes, pop?
Yeah, and this is the thing that I couldn't understand. I brought this to the attention actually of a Liberal MP, Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and he didn't even know. And he said, well, obviously, this should be gone away with. There's no justification. It certainly doesn't fall into either of those two buckets, which you just mentioned. And so at this point, it just really feels like an unnecessary tax grab. But it's also incredibly inconsistent, because the federal government doesn't have an excise tax for non-alcoholic wine or non-alcoholic spirits. And so it's just beer. It's a very, very strange application of the sin tax to one product line in the non-alcoholic space.
Isn't non-alcoholic wine just grape juice? Is there such a thing? I don't know.
I mean, I did do a little bit of research myself. I have tried some of these drinks. Some of them I actually really enjoy in regards to taste, whether it be the wine or the beer. It's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I can see why people would enjoy them. And yeah, there's this weird disparity where tax policy doesn't treat all non-alcoholic beverages equally.
Okay, so Do you believe, now you mentioned off the top that there may be a variety of reasons why people might choose non-alcoholic beer. Again, I think that's, you know, we can probably guess at a whole bunch of them, and good for people who make that choice. That's fine. If it was cheaper, like way cheaper, because you got rid of this excise tax, do you believe that the market would grow even larger, which would help more people to choose this as opposed to real beer, which might be more healthy, because now it's kind of the same thing? I mean, if you're not looking to get drunk or not looking to get a buzz, it's kind of the same thing. I could drink this and it would be a lot cheaper. Do you think this would grow that industry?
Yeah, I do, because I think if faced with the choice of, let's say, a $7 pint, one being non-alcoholic and one being alcoholic, I mean, there's no comparative advantage unless you're really committed to it. So I do think it would raise awareness, because people's eyeballs immediately would go, oh, okay, what is this? This is exponentially cheaper. Okay, zero alcohol. Maybe I'll give this a try. And the thing is that if they were to get rid of the tax, that would actually be in line with how the province treats non-alcoholic beer, because non-alcoholic beer is not subject to the same retail restrictions as alcohol. It's the reason why for decades you could find non-alcoholic beer in a grocery store before grocery stores were allowed to sell any alcohol. So it would really just be streamlining the federal government and the provincial government's approach and saying, hey, guys, this doesn't have alcohol in it. It's not deserving of the same treatment or similar treatment.
But I would think that governments would want people to move as many as possible to non-alcoholic beer because of the fewer issues that could be, I mean, less drinking and driving, which governments mm-hmm. are always telling us, don't do that, which with mm-hmm. good reason. I mean, no, we're not mocking that, with good reason. Less public drunkenness and issues that might spill off from that the police have to respond to, fewer health issues for people who overuse. This would be something I would think governments would want to be pushing people towards.
Well, not only would it be something that governments would want to do, in particular for this federal government, who has championed harm reduction across a variety of different substance and abuse issues, with the exception of vaping. They're not particularly good on that harm reduction policy. But they've really made this a platform and a pillar of what the Liberal government stands for. And so this really feels like a giant blind spot, because from a harm reduction perspective, like you just mentioned, this is a no-brainer.
I guess the flip side, though, is that, you know, if we are going to talk about addictions, maybe the biggest addiction out there is the government to taxes.
Oh,
and,
certainly.
You know, I don't know, maybe if the government looks at this and, you know, you can say we would like to reduce harm, but we're really not looking to give up that. What did I say the number was at the beginning? $676 million in taxes.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of addicted to those, too.
Yeah, that's the total tax. I think that is just outrageous, the amount that Canadians pay in regards to taxes, especially if you compare us to the U.S. It's way too high. That is obviously incredibly regressive, because lower income people enjoy having a beer just like those who are of higher incomes. And so it's incredibly regressive for them. There wouldn't be much revenue loss from the federal government as it stands right now. So you would find a federal politician who would put their foot down and say, no, we need the marginal portion from non-alcoholic beer to stay in because we need that revenue so desperately. I could see them putting their foot down on alcoholic beer because the government has now, in my opinion, become very reliant on sin taxes. More so than they need to be. And so this is the thing. For me, getting rid of the excise tax on non-alcoholic beer would be consistent with how they treat other non-alcoholic products. It's great from a harm reduction perspective. It grows an industry, which would most likely have some positive health externalities. And it's not going to make a huge dent in the federal coffer if they were to give up this little piece of the pie. And so I would hope that moving forward, some other folks, like Member of Parliament Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, can come around and realize that this is pretty silly.
And you're right. Not like, even if they were to do this, not 100% of the beer drinking population is going to say, hey, give me the non-alcoholic stuff. It might be 5%. And that's a 5% that you can help people with, and still you're still going to get $650 million of that tax money. So you're still not going to go, you know, anyway.
Dave, we're closer to $670 million.
Yeah. David Clement, North American Affairs Manager with the Consumer Choice Center. You can find his op-ed piece that he wrote. It's in thespec.com. You can go to the website and look it up there. David, really appreciate the time. Thanks for bringing this up. Great idea.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.